регламентирован на начале его, я бы сказала, в вашем действии, что он определяет вплоть до количества часов, которые должны быть отведены в той или иной учебной дисциплине. А если он не выполнен, он не имеет права выдавать полноценный государственный диплом о законченном образовании.
So the Bolognese system, which supposes that there and we are gradually entering this process, as I have noted, it is on the quite opposite pole of this educational system. There is nothing like that in this system. It supposes in the shape in which it is implemented right now in some Western or European countries, this system covers only the countries of the European member states of the European Union and the states which volunteered to enter it. So this system, actually supposes that there are two steps, there are two grades, bachelor's and master's, and there are some difficulties in implementing this system. We had some experience some time ago of preparing bachelors of art, and this experience was rather poor, not because the education was poor, but because these people, these experts, were not in demand in the market, in the professional market, and in the labor market as well, because they were regarded as non-trained people or people with insufficient education, non-experts. And I think that this attitude of the society towards bachelors from the standpoint of the Bologna process is unacceptable, because this is a two-level system. This is a single system, and no other system may be proposed in that respect. The new aspects and the new sides, and first of all, the new educational strategies, which would be directed or aimed at inclusion of theoretical aspects, theoretical subjects for the art experts and art critics, I think they should be implemented at the level of the magister or master. As concerns the master education, I think that we have insufficient experience, even less experience than if we speak about the bachelor education. That's why we'll have somehow to feel our way, feel the path along the way, and for instance try to find some approaches which would be useful in implementing these educational strategies. That is especially true if we realize that the state standards would remain, and that probably would restrict us in our actions. At the same time, it is absolutely evident that the necessity, there is a great need of changing the educational system for art critics and art experts. If we speak about the directions which we are to choose, about the attitudes and approaches which we are to choose, here I would like to mention the following. I would, in my speech, touch upon only one strategy, only one path, which is multidimensional and includes a whole system of different approaches. So this educational strategy is connected to the so-called new history of the art. And I think that this strategy would allow us to apply new approaches, new viewpoints and new concepts of the modern history of the modern art. It would allow us to implement these strategies in the educational process and would allow to create the necessary basis for the art critics and art experts, and using these bees, people, our students, graduates, will self-educate and try to form and to shape their own views and knowledge based and form their identity. It is also very important to note that if we take this way, still the role and importance of a teacher, of a professor, rises. So suddenly it should not be a charismatic teacher, for example, who initiates a student and discloses some secrets which only he knows. This should be a person, this should be a professor who should not only pass on certain knowledge to the student, but this would be a person who has to teach a student to find new ways, to find new solutions, to take different decisions on his own, to make his own choice on his own, and to make selection. And it means that he will teach the students to take the responsibility for all further steps in his future life, in his future activity. It means that the student, with his help, would absolutely realize his role, his importance in the life, and he'd find his identical position in the life. We hope that in this new educational model, which would be implemented in future, within this model, a quite new percentage relation should be implemented as well. There should be quite different proportion of lectures and seminars and workshops. I mean the lectures when, for instance, a lecturer delivers a presentation disclosing different secrets and students take notes and then reproduce that in their life. I think that the main focus should be made on quite a different model of education, of relations between the student and the professor. I think that the main accent should be made on the discussion and dialogue between them, and the main accent should be made also on the independent work, on the work of the student. I think that these moments are implemented long ago. They're implementing the educational programs of many Western universities, but I think that situation is quite different here in Russia, and the situation is quite the same as we had in early 20th century. I think that this is the way we should take, this is the way we should go, actually. We should break the stereotypes. It means that the professors of new type would be in demand, would be required, and these professors should be trained as well. These teachers should be trained somehow. I think that the approaches, the strategies, the new achievements which are available in the new history of art, they may be quite useful for the new educational system. I believe that the accumulated materials, accumulated experience should be made use of in the sphere. They should be recommended to be included into the publishing programs, into the publishing projects and plans. I think that would be very useful, very important, and very relevant, especially to implement those main tasks, those main objectives, so that the education has a higher level of theoretical training, that education is based on the theoretical concepts. We want students to obtain the whole theoretical base, and we want the students to have impression of the multitude of different viewpoints which are existing in science. It means that a student would not be imposed, actually no viewpoints would be imposed on students. I think that this direction in the history of art is very relevant, is very adequate, and I think that this very direction, this very movement within the modern history of arts, it made a lot. It started in late 1970s in England. It is based on the English language, so to say, when this movement started its development, I think that the main task of this movement, of this strategy, was as follows. The history of art, which was very conservative, a very conservative discipline, which didn't face any changes which took place in other liberal arts. So people who launched this movement, they wanted the history of art to get rid of those frames, to be more flexible. Because before it only recognized some totalitarianism, when, for instance, the history of art started from the ancient times and ended with the modern time, and the notions of form and style, they were also recognized very conservatively and very narrowly. We all know what the history of art is as a science. It means that we had to break certain stereotypes. So this movement, this strategy, it changed the viewpoints which were applied or used in the history of art. So the notion itself of the history of art changed, the place of the history of art was changed, and the main notion of the work of art or piece of art was reshaped, and the art epoch or art era, artistic era, and form and style, these notions were also reshaped, were also changed. And it means that the notions which used in psychology, in sociology, and cultural anthropology, they also were copied and cloned and later on used in the history of arts. It means that the history of arts as a science tried to use the approaches which were applied in the liberal arts and tried also some new other approaches on the basis of the art, on the basis of the works of art, to face different challenges, to face different problems, to analyze them. For instance, to analyze the gender problems, the social and social-political problems in the sphere of art, the use and application of psychological analysis in its Lacanovsky variant option. Certainly, the visual semiotics played a great role in that system, and when these methodologies and new strategies were applied, and certain strategies and methodologies they shaped as independent branches of science, they were used, and it turned out out that now the whole picture of the history of art, the whole picture of the art itself was reshaped. Certainly there are certain gaps, blank spaces which we are to fill out, but still this history of art is created on quite a different basis. So there is no just one single picture of the history of art created by the historians of art. They are professionals who are allowed to the science, and they have the right to create the history of evolution.
There's no place for the one and only picture. What we have in point of fact is a limitless number of such pictures who are written from different perspectives. Let it be a socio-political aspect, be it the gender aspect, or any other psychoanalysis problems, and so on and so forth. Well, exactly this variety, this opportunity to acquaint the student with such strategies and approaches, with a similar understanding of artistic evolution of culture on the global scale. This is exactly what is mandatory, which should be implemented and introduced into the new education model. And we're exactly a work done by new scholars and historians of art may be of great help. Well, the history of art pretty rapidly received certain acquired certain shapes and forms of institution. It has been implemented in a number of universities since, first of all, they were the site saw it appear in England, in the UK, in the United States, and now in other European countries. Besides, it succeeded in attracting a number of magazines, which became its fora and began to widely spread these absolutely new ideas of modern art, about contemporary art, and about the history of art in general. But these magazines, such as New Literary History, as Bloch magazine, Representation magazine, World of Image magazine, and a number of other magazines, which in the 1980s, in the 1990s, and in the early 21st century, have been the forum for very interesting discussions as to what is art, what is an artist, in what sense is he a subject of the creative act, and so on and so forth. And such discussions were really saw the contributions of great artists who became the creators of the new history of art. And they themselves have created this very important theoretical field that we should become available for our accessible to our students. And as to when we talk about shaping some sort of publishing strategy and policy in this area, I suppose that it should have translations probably of such discussions, which were really carried out by theoreticians of very high reputation. And what would be absolutely necessary is that our students should have access to these magazines. I suppose we could add art journal 2 into this list, the list of the American magazines. I can't possibly enumerate them all. So that our students should have immediate access to work with them, so that to be really up to be in the know of all the new approaches and this new look, new approach that we see in theory towards art. Probably here I should make a small qualification that at this stage of the development of scholar, it's very hard to distinguish between the history of art and artistic critique. Now, luckily, they have been unified, and theory pretty often needs and often seeks historical argumentation to endorse its concept. And what is, I feel, the greatest about it is that artistic criticism that has been somewhere not in the mainstream of the history of art, and historians of art have been looking at it as some contingency process that is not really looking into internal values, but whose point is in something else. But luckily nowadays, nobody is sharing this view any longer. And I suppose you cannot now separate them, especially when we talk about the theory of art. It's very hard to find this dimension that would distinguish modern artistic criticism from modern history of art. I suppose it may be very fruitful for both the history of art and for contemporary artistic criticism. So I suppose I would rather include as item on this strategy of publishing in art, first of all, these discussions that were conducted in those magazines and the magazines themselves. I suppose we also should include very important names and very important pieces of work that should be also there. First of all, a great number of them have to do with visual semiotics, because certainly on the other approaches are clearly valid and important, and I wouldn't really go through enumeration them, the gender problems, psychoanalysis problems. The thing is that visual semiotics, this is the scientific strategy which makes it possible for us to see art in the system, in the framework of other visual forms of culture, and find a place of its own to put it into this context, and alongside with that, to identify something that is special to Toulouse, and to deduce all this visual information which is contained in the works of art in a full scope. Clearly, visual semiotics is a very complicated, sophisticated scientific methodology that we must teach our students. Clearly, the curricula and the syllabus should include the subject of visual semiotics, clearly such disciplines as political studies and contemporary sociology in their modern interpretation. Clearly, what we need is such disciplines as the ones related to contemporary studies of the stage, contemporary stage in the development of philosophy. Yet, if we talk about specific names and works that probably we should include, both into the syllabus and into the new publishing strategy, with your permission, I will mention several names. For that matter, what is also very obvious is that out of many things that I would like to recommend now, and what indeed is very relevant and maybe very fruitful to update, radically update the educational strategies. Well, this sort of, not so often is some sort of completed monogram created by the pundits. Rather, these are collective works. They may showcase the opinions not only of pundits, but opposing points of view. Well, this clearly will reflect the discussions which are going on in various magazines, not necessarily dedicated to art. I suppose it has testifies to the condition and to the specificity of contemporary humanities studies in humanities, where we see continuous search for something new and very, very interesting dialogue and criticism of the established things. And if we talk about names, I suppose it's very important that we should translate, and again, have a small qualification. There's no doubt, and I don't suppose anybody would want to debate it, that both young art critics and art historians and art specialists and young artists themselves should clearly have an excellent command of English. There's nothing to oppose it. But in the same way, we must have an artistic publishing initiative that should translate most important essays into Russian. Say, in Germany, most interesting works, both in terms of classical history of art and in terms of contemporary art too, they all have been translated into German. We see the same in France. Therefore, what is necessary is that this literature should be available in Russian, in the Russian language, so that the very availability of access towards it, even if it has been translated clearly, it wouldn't make easy reading, but its very availability in our cultural sphere would clearly work for and would promote the fact that being aware of contemporary art and the level of theoretical preparedness and the I suppose the works by Delting, The End of the History of Art, Invisible Masterpieces, as well as his polemic collection, which is made up from contributions of interesting authors, which is called What is a Work of Masterpiece, a chef-d'oeuvre. So in terms of the new concept of the new history of art, I suppose it has been subjected to radical reconsideration, radical review. I suppose what is very important here is works by Arthur Danto. I suppose first and foremost those works that were published within the framework of his polemics with Dante as to whether we see the end of art, the end of history of art. What is also absolutely necessary is the work by a range of specialists in the area of visual semiotics. I suppose here I would refer to the collection and monographs as well that have been edited and were collected and edited by Norman Reisen. I suppose now he's one of the leading specialists in the area of visual semiotics and theoretical approach towards modern art and classical art. Norman Reisen is surely the name that should be translated pretty soon. I wouldn't want to enumerate the works that we could appeal to, we could refer to, but I suppose this may be discussed, but I suppose nobody would dispute the need to translate these works of art. What would be important to translate several works by historians of art that represent such important areas in modern theory of art and history of art, because again I would like to stress that all these things have really been joined together, and such works as, for example, those works by Clark that are, if with your permission, as a modal approach towards in terms of neo-Marxism and in terms of political and social analysis of art and its existence, as well as the representative of contemporary form of analysis, which enables us to introduce into the paradigm of art, both contemporary art and the history of art, to introduce such concepts in everyday life as gender, as corporal aspects, as both we can talk about works by Michael Fried. And I suppose what is also important is works by Haskell that should be translated out of German. I suppose Haskell did what is important in his works, in his monographs, demonstrated brilliant analysis of the existence of art in social aspects,
subjected to an analysis of art in the wider context of the world.
Certainly, there is a number of other authors, such as Stephen Barr or Stephen Meadow, authors and coordinators of different programs and different initiatives, coordinators of different collections of articles, which will go for quite long, would be relevant. The collections of articles are dedicated to semiotics, art semiotics. And I think that a number of other works are very important. Unfortunately, such an author as Richard Wolheim is not known here in Russia, and he's not translated into Russian. But his works are in the basis, are in the foundation of the visual semiotics, and in the foundation of the new understanding of the process of painting. Painting as some specific visual process, and not only the painting, because this author wrote a lot about other aspects of art, and it's a real shame that we don't have the translations of the most monumental works of Goldbrich, except for his history of art, but it doesn't give an impression of the role and contribution of this really great scientist into the modern liberal art, because Goldbrich's works are really important for the cinema experts and for the art experts and for literature experts. And Goldbrich is a closed book actually for our students, because he's not translated. We can also mention a number of other names, a whole series of other authors, maybe, and I didn't even mention all the most important of them. But this very selection of the most prominent works, of the most prominent articles and books which are to be urgently translated into Russian, this selection has been made. And we just have to proceed on with the translation, with the work itself, actually. We have to reshape our programs, our curricula in the universities, in the institutes, in accordance with the Bologna process. I'm very much afraid of this notion, but still I would use it, the notion of very tight, very strict structuring of our educational modules, so that inside these modules we have the subjects dedicated to the new environment, new conditions. I mean such subjects as cultural anthropology and cultural sociology. And the subjects which would be dedicated to the new spheres of education and art, dedicated to something new, this subject would allow the students to take a different approach to the classical history of art and to estimate differently, to assess differently the modern conditions of the art. To some extent, it would make their search of self-identity and the attempt to find themselves in the framework of the art easier. It would facilitate this process. So thank you very much, and I'm sorry if I exceeded the time limit.